Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Amen. We thank you for tuning in, being a part of this hour. As we move forward, for those of you who are listening by internet, if you would like to participate, you can call in. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347 237-4054. And you can call and participate. It is interactive. If you have any questions, if you would like prayer or anything that you would like to share, what's on your heart, the line will be open for you. When you call in, hit the number one. When you hit the number one, a question mark will come up, and they will let us know that you have a question, and we will open the line for you. Amen. We'd also like to inform you that you can go into go on to Zoom, and our Zoom number is 505-563-6808. That's 505-563-6808. And the passcode for that is Psalm 23, capital P-S-A-L-M 23. And you would be able to go to, you know, if you like a Facebook, you can go to Zoom and participate with that. And lastly, if you'd like to hear this message again, or if you'd like to hear any of the other messages that are on Blog Talk Radio, you can go into Blog Talk Radio, then type in We Can Begin Again. That's We Can Begin Again on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. You go into New Beginnings, and that is the symbol with the eagle. That is New Beginnings. Amen. When you see the eagle, that is us. And you just type in We Can Begin Again. And you can listen to any of the messages that we have online, shared with a friend, be a blessing to someone. As we move forward, we're going to have Dr. Suzanne. She is going to pray, and then we're going to move directly into the Word of God.
Father God, we praise your name, and we thank you, dear Lord, for this evening together, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, for another opportunity, Father God, to come together to the words, to hear from the Holy Spirit, and to praise and worship you. We thank you, Lord, for all of the ministry that will go forth this evening, Father God. I ask you, Lord, to bless my husband. Bless him, Father God, as he goes through the word and takes it line upon line. Thank you, Father God, that this evening, Father God, will be pleasing before you. In Jesus' sweet and holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. As we move forward with the scripture, we're coming from Isaiah 48, 3 through 8, and verse 17. That's Isaiah 48, 3 through 8, and verse 17. Located in your Bible or whatever tool that you're using. I'm going to read those scriptures. And then after I read those scriptures, then we will discuss what Isaiah is speaking about as the Lord has placed in my spirit. The word reads as such, I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth. And I showed them, did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew. And a sinew is something that is tough, something that's uniting muscles. That's what sinew is. It's just tough to get through. And thy brow, brass. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee before it came to pass. I showed it to thee, lest thou should say, my idol have done them, and my graven image and my molten image hath commanded them. 48, 6 through 8. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not declare it. I showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, that thou didn't know them. They are created now, and not from the beginning or before this day, and thou hast heard them not, lest thou shouldst say, behold, I knew them. Yea, thou heardest not. Yea, thou heardest not. Yea, from that time thine ear was not opened, for I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously, and wrath called transgressors from their womb. In verse 17, thus says the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, who teacheth thee to profit, who leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Amen. Now, as we read this, the scripture, it's important to grasp the power and the majesty of the Holy One of Israel. And I have titled this as the Holy One of Israel. Oftentimes we use the Holy One, but this evening Isaiah is saying the Holy One of Israel. We are declaring that the Holy One of Israel. As we go on, God keeps reminding Israel during this time, and he is reminding us that God was there at the foundation of the earth, when heaven and earth were spread out. Israel, during this time, had taken God for granted. And you know what? That's something that we often do today. We take God for granted. They had taken God for granted and had forgotten all that God had done, creation, and also in Exodus, bringing them out of the Exodus. They had forgotten all of that. God is the creator. He's not some idolatrous play or figure that we can hang up or manage, and God cannot be contained by people. Now, when we look at this, the scripture, and we move forth into the scripture during this time, and I am using notes from John Wesley, and this is not my words, but this is where I've studied from. John Wesley's called the Explanatory Notes, just so that I can be clear, and it's coming from the New Testament. God's punishment for adultery. He had, during this time, he had lifted them out. And God was, even during this time, God was faithful to them. Even though that they loved graven images, even though that, and when you look at the word, it says, you know, that your ear was closed. And what Isaiah was saying to the people of Israel, that even though the prophecy came forth, you couldn't hear it. You couldn't hear it because you was not in the right relationship with God. And when I look at this, I look at this almost very closely in terms of how we are today. Oftentimes God is speaking with us. He's speaking to our spirits. He wants us to give you an assignment. He wants to give me an assignment. And God is working to bring the people back to him. He wants to bring the people back to him. And because of their sin, They were in constant need of God's mercy and forgiveness as they went through this. Now, there is a theologian called Walter Brueggemann, And he talks about Israel being like a parent and a child. And what Walter Brueggemann says, he says a parent loves her child deeply, but at times this love the parent, the child must hear a judgment. They must hear a judgment. They must hear a harsh word for their own good. And he's speaking of how we as the parent will respond to a child. We love the child, but sometimes we have to give them a harsh word just so that they can get it right. They may be hitting or doing something that the parent dislikes. And what Walter Brueggemann is saying, he's saying is that there has to be sometimes a judgment or a harsh word for their own good. And he's speaking such as a word where it pains the parent to their very core because they have to chastise this child or from their spoken word or what they're acting upon. It pains the parent to have to chastise the child. Walter Brueggemann in his writing, he scripts that and that beautifully describes a parental pain. And he writes a little piece, and it reads such as this. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand. Your walls are continually before me. God is the creator. He's the spirit. He's our savior. And he's much bigger than we can even imagine. We can't contain God in one little image and put him on the wall. We cannot contain because God is bigger than we can even think or we can even imagine. God is constantly drawing us as he was constantly working with Israel. God is constantly draws us to it's almost like the woman who loves the child that she nurses and who cares for her child forever, not while they're at home, but even when they are away from her. She cares for the child. The parent, as Walter said, they endure pain and even sometimes rejection to save her child. And he goes on to say that for Christians like this, this is the kind of parental love that God has for sinners of the world. It's fulfilled with God's gift. And Jesus was crucified and had risen because of the sins of the world. Israel did not imagine that they would ever escape captivity during this time in Babylon. They didn't even imagine that its earthly political and military liberators, such as during that time, Cyrus of Persia, he was not even an Israelite, but he was a heathen leader and conqueror whose reign lasted about 30 years. And he knows that Walter goes on to talk about in terms of individual customs and religions during this time because territories were constantly conquered. And Israel, they didn't feel that they was ever going to be able to get from under his reign. God came and rescued them and brought them out of exile. Babylon was conquered, and Isaiah identifies Cyrus as God's instrument. And what he was saying was that even though that they were going through something, even though that they were under the reign of a heathen leader, time God has to put us in situations for our own good. Sometimes God has to allow us to go through some things for our own good. And what is he saying here is God was doing a new thing. He was doing a new thing in the name of saving God's people and the world. We look at the situations that go on today, and we ask, everything that we're seeing politically, everything that we're seeing from adultery, from all these things that's happened in the world, that sometimes we learn from those. Because if we never ever see those challenges, we can't ever see God working. But sometimes we do not recognize the hand of God. And God wants to know. He wants people to know. He wants the world to know that it wasn't by their might, but it was by his. God is doing a new thing. God did a new thing when he talked, when we look at Mary's call to bear a Savior in Jesus. If we look at Luke, 131 through 33, to the Easter surprise of the Easter tomb, God is constantly doing a new thing. God is always busy working on our behalf. God is always busy doing new human beings that we can't even imagine. We go through our daily lives. We go through our daily jobs. We go through our daily whatever, and God is always working on our behalf. But we can't even imagine it. We can't even see it. But God is always working on our behalf. Who would have thought that a small band of followers of a crucified Savior would see this? Future vision is right before us today. God's future vision is right before us today. God is doing a new thing. As we see things unfolding, God is doing a new thing. God's future vision is right before us. If we look at Revelations 21, 1 through 8, God speaks of a new heaven and a new earth, for God is among mortals dwelling at home with him. God's ways and thoughts are far above all that we can even dare, hope, or even imagine. This is a good reason to listen, hear, and trust that God is at work in our lives and in the world. We need to quit looking at what's going on and start looking to what God is doing. We need to stop complaining about what's happening and begin to start to praise God for what's happening, because God is doing a new thing in your life, in my life, and the world, a new thing. God is constantly working on our behalf. Israel, during this time, they had disregarded the previous prophecies. They had disregarded the previous prophecies. They had a closed ear. They could not hear. They could not hear the predictions. They could not hear God's wrath that would be delayed. They couldn't hear it. They could not hear that he would be freed from captivity. They couldn't hear the plan that was created for them. They could not hear it. In Deuteronomy, Israel knew she would be back to the land after captivity. and after dwelling in the land was assured. Why? Because of the Abrahamic covenant. But it wasn't until Isaiah's prophecy was given that did they know that how God would deliver them. God is doing a new thing. God is working on our behalf. The Holy One of Israel is still alive. The Holy One of Israel is still alive, still working on our behalf, still has visions for our lives and the world, still knocking at our door, asking us to step up to another level. We cannot be comfortable where we are because God is doing a new thing. God is saying it's time that we get our acts together. God is saying that I have a plan and a future for you. Plans not to destroy you, but to give you a new hope, to give you something that you can't even imagine. And all God is asking, as he was doing with Israel, is just trust me. Just trust me. Don't lean on to your own understanding. Just trust me. Don't try to imagine what it's going to look like. Just trust me and allow my vision to unfold in your lives. Because I'm working on your behalf. I'm doing a new thing for you. I've already written it in the Word of God. I've already written it. All you have to do is just look back at the examples that have been written from the prophecies. And trust me. And trust me. We know that because of the sin, because Israel had adultery, because Israel was caught up graven images during this time, that their ear was not attuned to God. And what Isaiah is saying here that is we cannot straddle the fence. We can't be in the world and of the world. We have to settle. Settle. One way or the other. God says either you're for me or you are against me. Playing time is over. It's time that you determine what you are choosing to do. Give your life over to me and get rid of all those graven images. Give your life over to me and I'll open up your ears. And you'll be able to hear and whisper. You'll be able to hear clearer. You'll know that I am that I am. You'll know that I'm doing a new thing on your behalf because I'll show you things that you have never even imagined. I'll take you places that you've never, ever seen. Just trust me. And Isaiah, he was given a prophecy to Israel, and they could not capture it. They couldn't imagine themselves being out of captivity. They couldn't imagine themselves being under the reign of a tyrant. They couldn't imagine that. I can imagine where they were in their mind. Because sometimes we begin to look at the situations rather than the solution. Sometimes the solutions cloud our minds and we get caught up and lose our sight, lose our hearing, because God cannot speak to us the way he would like. God can't use us the way he would like because we're looking at the situation and not looking at the cross. God died on the cross. His death and his resurrection serves for you and I, for the sin of the world. The Holy One of Israel is still the Holy One today. The Holy One of Israel is the foundation, and that's where that foundation comes from. The Holy One of Israel is the same God that brought them out of captivity. He can do the same to you and I. Whatever you're going through, whatever challenges that you may be going through, the Holy One of Israel can handle it. Small God that can be managed. God is above anything we can think or imagine. So quit trying to figure out where God is going to do and just let him go ahead and work in your life. Let him go ahead and take you to places that you can't even imagine. Let him continue to use you but take you to higher levels wherever you are. I believe that in today's world, God is saying it's time to step up. We may have a heart for the Lord, but God is saying it's time to step up. How much time are we spending in our study? How much time are we spending witnessing to others? How much time are we spreading love to our neighbors? How much time are we focusing on? How much time are we spending? God is saying, and he's speaking to you and I. He's speaking to you in those secret places that you may go to pray. He's speaking to you in your situation, praising God for the circumstances, because when God works, God wants to know without a shadow of a doubt that he's getting the glory. Looking to the hills from where our help comes from. It's not the world. It's not man. It's not the amount of money that you have coming in. It's not your car. Israel did a graven image. And if we begin to focus on a graven image or any type of image that pulls us away from God, we can't hear when he's truly speaking, whispering. I love you, my son. I love you, my daughter. This is what I want to do for you. But we know without a shadow of a doubt where God wants to take us. Because we trust and believe that he's going to do just that. God is doing a new thing. The Holy One of Israel is doing a new thing even today. He is our Redeemer. And he's committed to teaching, guiding us. He's committed to making sure that whatever we are doing in his name is going to happen. Not doubting, but believing. Not doubting, but believing. That whatever we're going through, that God is going to bring us out. Whatever is holding you captive in your life, that's holding you down from stepping up to that next level, God bring you out. If there's somebody that you you know in your life and their situation is not right, don't be afraid. Don't go in fear. Because you've seen, or we have seen, things of the world happening, and we get caught up in the things of the world and not. And believe. And God will bring them out. But it requires something. It requires repentance. Asking God to forgive us for our sins. It requires something. Turning our lives totally over to God. It requires something. Having a renewed mind. Not worrying about the next bill. Not worrying about whatever the doctor has told you, but it requires a renewed mind. And with a renewed mind, God begins to start to act. As he did in Israel, they couldn't imagine coming out of captivity. And that's what I see today. So many are caught up in captivity. Caught up so much in captivity that they're focusing and not believing that they can ever get out. Never believing, not believing that they can be healed. Not believing that God is going to bring them out. And that's what Isaiah was telling Israel. But they couldn't hear because their ears were closed. They couldn't see because it was too dark. All their focus was where they were doing a new thing. Appreciate God's continued faithfulness. Don't forget where God has brought you. And if he brought you out then, why would he change now? Appreciate God's continuing faithfulness. God is faithful. He's faithful. God cannot lie. God has made a covenant from before time, and he cannot lie. As I come to a close, God is trying to get your attention. God wants you to bring you out of whatever you're in exile. He wants to bring you out so that you can have peace, so that you can have righteousness, so that you can live the way God wants you to live. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, he tells us that it can be difficult during uncertain times. But as believers, we know that his ways are not our ways, and he will ultimately work all things for the good. Isaiah tells us that. And Paul goes on to say that having faith in difficult times can allow you to find peace in God's presence. Don't focus on the situation. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on the faith. What is faith? The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. Appreciate God's continued faithfulness. The Holy One of Israel. I'm going to open up the mics for comments if you have comments. And I hope there are comments. Amen. Are there any comments?
Yes, sir. This is Sister Tara. I just want to say, you know, the lesson truly has blessed my life each and every week. But I'm so thankful to know that the Holy One of Israel, it's like things that were holding me down, and I felt them just lifting off of me. And I thank you that, you know, God, I can hear the voice of the Lord, but then that doubt steps in.
Mm.
But I just thank you for that encouragement and teach us to be committed to being taught. And I realize I'm going to keep praising God because that's going to sustain me, as you said. And then the last thing that I would like you to say, God isn't a God we can try to manage.
Mm.
So many times we try to figure out everything. Well, okay, Lord, I'm going to get this to you. I'm going to do this. But we got to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Let him lead the way.
Amen.
So I have truly been encouraged, and I'm just thankful. And I just thank everybody. Each week is an awesome week. I look so forward to it.
Amen.
Thank you. God bless. Apologize for the noise.
Oh,
I be having my grandchildren, and so that's why I be like that. So praise God.
Thank you so much, Sister Terrence. God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you. Is there another comment? Anything that you have gleaned from this word this evening? Amen. The mics are open. All you have to do is talk. Amen. Anything that you've gleaned that may be a blessing in your life?
Dr. Clay, I'm listening to you, and I came on a little bit late, but you spoke about, the Lord has been dealing with me about trusting him. You know, we as Christians, we are called to a walk of faith, and we look to see things in the natural versus things in the spiritual. So we take our eyes off of God because we don't see how he's working and where he's working. And so we're sitting back trying to figure out what he's doing. But if our walk is a walk of faith, we have to trust him even when we don't understand what's going on. And as you said, he will work all things together for our good. And some of the things that have happened, you try to figure out, well, how can good come out of this? But it's not for us to figure out. And I have a lot of questions sometimes myself, but I've come to the realization when I finish, you know, asking questions and why, and, you know, why it didn't work out this way. And I realize I have to trust him even when I don't understand and when I don't see the end. I don't see it. I don't see it. And again, you said, we need to take our eyes off the circumstances. It's when we keep our eyes on the circumstances that we become overwhelmed by the situation because we're looking at the situation rather than looking to God.
Amen.
And so I just thank you for your word that you brought this evening. It has blessed me. And I know others probably are sitting back thinking the same thing. We don't have to understand it all.
Amen.
And he doesn't have to answer any questions as to why he did something or, you know, why it didn't work out this way and all of that. We are just called to a life of faith. He said the just shall live by faith. And he said we don't look at the things that we see, but we look at the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So thank you so much for your word tonight. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for the comments, Reverend.
I think that oftentimes this, thinking about young people growing up, they are obstinate. They don't want to take advice, don't want to listen to, you know, to their elders, don't want to, just want to do their own thing. I thank the Lord for the lesson, and that when you come to Christ and as we mature, become mature believers, that we learn, we may not respond as quick as we could, but we slowly learn how to listen and be obedient, and that that we start focusing on spiritual things instead of the worldly things. We learn that Jesus, you know, the time in Christ is not the same as his time in the world.
Amen.
That what you see in the world has nothing to do with what is not, has nothing to do with what the Lord wants us to see.
Amen.
To open our spiritual eyes and ears and be obedient to the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And the more that we are obedient, the more we learn, the faster we learn.
Mm-hmm.
And the faster we learn to hear that voice and respond appropriately.
Amen.
I thank you for the lesson. This is a good lesson. This is a very good lesson. Makes you think about how the Lord continues to reach out to us. You know, that we don't listen, but he won't let us go.
Amen.
And you know, go ahead, please.
We are the challenges that we face. They are to grow us. They are not just, it just doesn't happen just to be happening. God has a reason for it. And whether we understand it or not, if we ask God, what am I to learn from this? What is it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, he will let us know. And while you're going through, if we just be quiet long enough, God is speaking, but you're so busy looking at the situation that you can't even hear him because your focus is in the wrong place, the wrong place, you know?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, and human nature takes over. We're just human.
Sure it does.
We're just trying to become more like Christ. And in order to become like Christ, we have to shed off all the things that we see, all the things that we hear that affect us as human beings. And that's really a challenge. You know, for those of you who are listening by internet or wherever you may be listening, I'm not saying that this is an easy thing to do.
No.
It's a process.
It's a process.
But the key is to stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Continue to pray. Continue to trust in God. And we begin to start to build on that. They call it scaffolding. We begin to start to build on that. So it's a different. Listen, there are people, there are others, you know, in the body of Christ, you know, who's been in the Word or as believers a long time.
Yes.
And the world can, you know, the world can mess you up, can put you in situations where you just,
and it will.
You know,
it's
almost like, you know, what's going on? Why is this? Why is all this happening?
Right.
Why is all this happening?
Right.
You know, so God has a way of bringing us out of things that we never thought we could ever get out of.
Mm-hmm. So true. So true. Yeah. So we have to remember what our focus is. Whatever we focus on, that's what becomes, what dominates and rules us, you know?
Amen.
But if we're focusing on Jesus, we can stay calm and we can have peace when we keep our eyes stayed on him and not the circumstances. The circumstances are put there to make us doubt. Because the enemy is going to do everything that he can do to keep your eyes on the situation rather than trusting God. And so what he tells us to do, he tells us to resist the enemy, and he'll flee. We have to resist him, though. So if we take our eyes off of him, off the situation, then he doesn't have anything to work with.
Exactly.
Because our focus is so intense on Jesus himself that we tend to forget the circumstances.
Amen. Thank you so much. You know, God is constantly doing a new thing in all of our lives.
Yeah.
And they say that we're going to have challenges. We're going to have challenges. escape challenges. And when we go through those challenges, we have to know how to get through them.
Mm-hmm.
How to get through them. It's like a storm coming through. You see a storm or a tornado coming through.
Right.
And you know what? Our mind begins to start to think the worst of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
That tornado coming, and we began to start to imagine everything torn apart even before it even happened.
That's right. That's right.
And that's how we become, you know. We become torn. We become torn, you know. And God does not want us to be torn. You know, he wants us to stand on the foundation of faith.
Amen.
Stand on the foundation of faith.
Amen.
It doesn't make a difference
what's
coming. You know, in Revelation it says, though the earth may be removed, and the mountains are cast into the midst of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't worry. That's
right.
Just a heavy piece. You're talking about you know, water coming and displacement and everything.
Yes.
And we're supposed to have that faith. You know, let's just face it now. Let's just face it.
Yeah.
And you
say,
don't worry. Don't worry. I've got this.
Okay.
I've got this.
Yeah.
I created the earth.
All right.
I created the water.
Mm-hmm.
I created the mountain. So you're talking about something that you're worried about that I create.
Have control over. Praise God. Yes. Amen. So true. So true. Yes, it is.
Hallelujah.
Awesome
Hallelujah.
Word. Awesome word. Praise God.
Anyone else with a comment that would like to share?
Yes, I would like to share. I thought it was a very good word and something really for us to think about, not just today, at this moment, but ongoing. A lot of us are faced with challenges and crises. You spoke of a storm and people panicking. But anyway, that storm is there. But anyway, there are people are panicking when they should seek shelter so that until the storm subsides, that shelter is God.
Mm.
People focus of what they need to do. And consequently, when they lose focus of what God wants them to do, sometimes they perish.
Mm-hmm. You can.
So a lot of negative things happen. Illness, whatever the case might be. And as long as God is with us, we're okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't focus on the negativity. You have to continue to speak life and think of the positive. What does God want me to do in this situation? He wants you to speak in his word.
Mm-hmm.
The bomb shelter, a tornado shelter, whatever the case might be, that's God. So you want to be in a position that you can understand what you need to do in order to preserve your life and be, because God has a purpose for all of us, so that you're able to serve him, spread the gospel.
Amen.
Just don't take this for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And also have love for one another. Sometimes we can be very critical of each other and not show love that we need to show. We let days pass and not say, I love you. But that's not what God wanted us to do.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So true.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Is there someone else who would like to make a comment before we come to the close?
Yes, sir. This is Sister Sharon again.
Yes.
I just wanted to say, thank you, everybody, for the scriptures. And I wanted to say, you know, Elder Curry, sometimes, you know, it's the mind. You know, I always say, you know, I'm a praying woman. I'm a trusting God.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized that the process I had to go through, maybe people had to go through, is with the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody quoting scripture, you said scripture and praying, that and them Psalms and worshiping God, that's the only thing that I know that got my mind straight. Because my mind, even though I love Lord, my mind used to be racing.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not get it to stop racing until I got deeper in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I got deeper in the Word, The racing just stopped.
Hallelujah.
I don't know if anybody
Amen.
Can get that.
Amen.
That's why I think that you're talking about the lesson out Israel was our mind be, some of our minds be just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't realize it. People in God's house.
Amen.
So I just want to say, that's what I want to say. Thank you for the lesson. This week and last week is really empowering. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you. So true.
But he does tell us to renew our minds. He said, don't be conformed to the ways of this world, but renew your mind. Your mind has to be, if your mind is in the right place, your heart follows. But if your mind is messed up, you're going to go right wherever your mind is. And in Philippians, Paul tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And he says, finally, my brothers, finally. He said, finally, if whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are honest, think on these things. If anything is praiseworthy, that's what you need to be thinking on. Yeah. That's how you keep the peace of God. Amen. You know? And that's what we have
anything
to remember.
Praiseworthy.
Amen. Praiseworthy.
And you know
what?
You know what? I think everything is praiseworthy.
Amen.
Everything.
Isn't that the truth? Yes. That's right. That's right. Certainly we can find something. That's right. We can find something to praise him for, right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know what? Having a praise and praise being praiseworthy, people catch on fire.
Amen. You know?
People catch on fire. You want to catch on fire?
Yes.
Hey, hang around somebody who's always praising God.
That's right. That's right. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God.
Each and every one of you for your comments, even if you were a silent listener and didn't make any comments, we thank you for your presence and may God bless you. As we come to the end, remember, we love you, but God loves you more. Good night.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Good night.
Good night.
Praise God. I can't pronounce it.
In a crowded room, cornered by the questions in my mind, it's so hard to understand how a life that I had planned stole my joy and left me far behind. Though all I had lost it seems from the shadow of a dream that used to be. I can look beyond the sky, deep into the Father's eyes, and see that there is hope for one like me. I can begin face the dawn.